Hello, welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network. As always, you can find all your latest news on UVA athletics over at thesaber.com for all your feature stories, analysis, and of course, the message board. You can also follow and subscribe to this podcast, the Who's On podcast, on Apple and Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts. And why not leave a five-star review while you're there? Of course, let's jump right into it. We got all that out of the way. Introduce our guest this week. You know him. He captained UVA in last week's win at Wake Forest, leads the Cavaliers in tackles, tied for sixth in the ACC. He's also a double Who, and he's number zero in your game day program. It's Antonio Clary, one of the starting safeties for the Cavaliers. Antonio, thank you so much for being on today. How you going? How you going this week?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. You know, another week in the books, and we're just, you know, ready and excited to go for Saturday.
Now, I'm going to start off. You're not new to podcasts. You hosted your own podcast with Sam Brunell, former women's basketball player. Just what was your experience in the space?
It was fun, you know. Obviously, it was new to me. And she, you know, called me up and, you know, asked me if I wanted to join her, and I was, you know, I was all up for it. But it was fun. Obviously, it was different because it was new to me. But once I got into the flow of things, it was starting to get natural, and then we just, you know, kept going away with it and running away with it. So it was good.
Yeah, you're double Who. What do you kind of envision for yourself? You know, obviously football right now, but after life after football.
You know, hopefully, just one day, you know, becoming a successful businessman, open up my own business. But yeah, just have those in my back pocket. But right now it's all football right now.
It's all football. And it's probably been, you know, a little bit more football UVA than you probably expected when you came into college in your sixth year now. Just, is it wild to kind of think where you are versus kind of, I guess, just like what you expected coming out of high school?
Oh yeah. I mean, coming out of high school, I wasn't expecting to be here this long, obviously. No one's expected to be here this long, but, you know, God has his plan. You know, the dice roll different ways, and you just got to adapt to it. You know, you face adversity, but I'm grateful for it. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world. Obviously, injuries suck, but, you know, they happen. It's a game of football. You just got to, you know, adapt to your situation and just be grateful for every opportunity you get. You know, I got 2 degrees now. Didn't think I was going to get 2 degrees when I first started here, but here we are, and I'm excited for the opportunity moving forward, but mainly just grateful and blessed just to continue to be in this position and have, you know, opportunity to continue to play football.
You're not alone. I mean, Chico's been there for a while, you know, Cam Butler, just some older guys on this team. How do y'all relate to each other or just on that front?
Oh, we relate well. You know, me and Cam Butler are best friends. Obviously, he's older than me, but I actually get called the
you had
old
to
head.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, he's older than me. Nah, he's definitely older than me. But I get, for some reason, I get called the old head on the team. Me and Chico are in the same year, but yeah, they're great guys, and obviously we relate well because we've all had a lot of football experience, and we're kind of in the same position. You know, dealt with injuries, and now we're here in our final year of college football. So, yeah, but we all definitely have a great relationship together.
Before we get into kind of this week, going back to last week, the Wake Forest game, just being down, you know, obviously at halftime, I know y'all talked and you didn't want to start the second half the way that y'all did, but just kind of being down 13 going into the fourth quarter, what was just kind of the vibe on the sideline? Were y'all just kind of going around picking each other up? Who was talking on the sideline as y'all trying to get up for that fourth quarter?
I mean, everyone had their heads up. No one was down on themselves. You know, guys, obviously the leaders on the team were talking and, you know, getting the rest of the guys going and stuff like that, because we didn't start the third quarter the way we wanted to. Coach talks about it all the time, like starting the middle eight fast and stuff like that. And we didn't do that this past weekend, but we were able to finish in the fourth quarter. So that was a big thing. But yeah, it was just the leaders and all the guys around us just, you know, continue to stay positive and pick everyone's heads up and know that the game wasn't over until the clock hit 0-0. So guys had that mentality of just going out there next snap, no matter what happened, it's next snap mentality, and keep going forward until the clock hits 0-0.
I think I had John Freeman, the voice of the Cavaliers, on earlier this week, and he said just the moment of the game was that fumble recovery and obviously Malcolm Green punching the ball out. Walk us through that play, just kind of what you saw there.
You know, I mean, obviously, we all saw that you do caught the ball, turn up field, and I was just running to the ball just to, you know, get try to make the tackle if no one made it. So my mindset was just get the ball on the ground as soon as possible so they don't get in field goal range. And then Malcolm made a great hit, went for the ball and stripped it out. And I saw the ball on the ground, but like I was running towards the ball carrier and the ball skated to the sideline. So I'm thinking in my head, like, I have to get this ball before it goes out of bounds. And then I saw the receiver try to pick it up. And then my initial thought was just, do whatever I can to get this ball out and get it back on the ground. So, the rest of my guys have a chance to, scoop it up. But once he picked it up, I was able to reach and palm the ball with my hand and cradle it. It was kind of just like my momentum as I was tackling him. I was able to cradle it. So it just like kind of like fell right into my arms as I like rolled over. So yeah, it happened fast, but I was definitely targeting that football the whole time. It wasn't like, oh, I just tried to tackle him and the ball landed in my arms. Like I was definitely going for that football and just perfectly just put my hand right on the football, which was great. But yeah, it was kind of just momentum, just kind of like my body just rolling, and I was just able to cradle the ball, right out of his hands.
Yeah, because it looked like the receiver for Wake had a much better was in a much better position for the ball, but you just kind of dove in there and wrestled it away from him at the last second. Is that kind of what it felt like on the field?
Yeah, it was really just, doing whatever I can to get the football out. I knew I saw him try to pick it up, and in my head, I'm just like, this is my football. I got to get it. So, and then came up with it.
When that play happens, it just kind of seems like there was a shift in the momentum. Could y'all feel that going back to the sidelines? Obviously, you're carrying the ball off and
When I recovered the fumble, there was still a lot of time on the clock.
they
So,
were driving to get into field goal range.
right, and then so. When we got the ball on the side, like when I recovered the ball and we're going to the sideline, like we were all excited. Oh yeah, the momentum shifted. Everyone was excited. But Coach Rudd told like made a made it a bit make it made it a big emphasis that like we still have a chance to go back on the field and end this game because offense was going to run the football and try to chew the clock out. And then Wake Forest still had three timeouts left, so there was still an opportunity for us to go back on the field and have to come up with another stop. So. The momentum definitely shifted, but it was still like we were still locked in our heads. Like Coach Rudd was still on the sideline trying to like tell us, like, listen, like the game's not over. Like we're still gonna have to go out here and end the game. So we were definitely alert and but we were definitely excited and all the momentum definitely came to our side for sure.
Malcolm had said after the game that y'all kind of practice that scenario a lot, just kind of punching the ball out in that
Yeah.
situation with Coach Cox. How often would you say y'all kind of go through that?
We do that almost every day that we're in pads. Yeah, we work on takeaways every single day when we're in shoulder pads. So it's definitely not new to us. But when opportunities like that present itself in a game, you definitely have to capitalize. And Malcolm did a tremendous job of doing that.
Coach talked a lot about just in the last week and even leading up to that game, just kind of it was a program game and it was a program win afterwards. Just what has that felt like as y'all kind of moved on from that game? And now, y'all have a chance to go 3-0 for the first time since what was that your freshman year in 2019 with the Orange
Right,
Bowl?
yeah.
And so kind of what has that felt like carrying that momentum off of last week?
I mean, like Coach talks about it all the time, every week it's a new season in itself. So, you just gotta enjoy the win on Saturdays, but then once Sunday comes, you have to shift your mind to the next opponent because at the end of the day, no matter what you did that Saturday, it doesn't carry over till next week. So you have to prepare the right way each and every single day. We start off with mindset Monday and then take over Tuesday, and then it goes along the week. And you just got to keep going, take a step, step by step, day by day, because it's a process at the end of the day. So nothing's going to be given to us. We got to earn and take everything. So come Saturday, we got to be prepared and ready to go because Maryland's a good football team and they're going to come ready to play. So we got to come ready to play as well. And it's going to be a fun game. It's a rivalry game. Obviously, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end last year, but there were some positives in that game that we can take away, but it was definitely just the finishing part, and we definitely have to have the mindset of finishing this coming week. But yeah, when you get a huge win like that, you celebrate it then, but the next day you got to keep moving forward because it's a long season, and momentum got to keep carrying by day by day steps.
We mentioned it before, y'all had the chance against Maryland to go 3-0 for the first time since 2019, which was your freshman year. The only two players are left from that team. It's you and Ben Smiley. How much did you learn from that season, and what have you kind of carried from kind of seeing that early success as kind of your career has gone on?
You're talking about how did I learn, like learn from that from the 2019
Yeah, from
season?
the 2019, yeah.
Just like, just really just like I said over and over, you know, taking it week by week. You know, you gotta worry about going 1-0 this week. You gotta worry about going 1-0 next week. But one thing I learned about that 2019 team, like every week they took it, you know, like it was their last game. So going into those games with that mindset, just knowing it might be your last time you ever step on this field and playing like that, and it showed. So being in this position now, being in the spot of able to go 3-0, you know, you just got to keep that mindset of just, you know, doing anything you can to go 1-0 this week.
Looking back, we talked about kind of your career and the turns that it's taken. You had ankle surgery last year. There was thought there for a while that you might be able to come back. Walk me through that decision and what that was like last season for you.
Oh yeah, so it was a tough decision, but you know, I sat down with Coach E and then sat down with Coach Cox and Coach Rudd, and the best decision was for me to get, you know, ankle surgery and just shut it down for the year. But knowing that if we went to a bowl game, I was possibly able to play, but obviously that didn't happen. So, you know, I was just shut down for the rest of the year. But it was a tough process, you know, just getting hurt at the beginning of fall camp is never fun, and then, you know, having hopes of coming back during the season or even early on in the season to be able to play. But after that week 3 game, I just knew in my head that, you know, I was going to get the surgery, and then it was going to be a significant time that I was out. And I didn't want to rush it back, but I wanted to, you know, take the proper steps to, you know, if I was able to play late in the season, I'd be ready to go. But depend just how the season went, you know, it was just the smart decision just to, you know, sit it out and so I can be 100% healthy for, you know, this season.
Yeah, some guys, you know, maybe kind of at that point would be like, well, maybe it's time to move on. Why did you want to come back to this program, especially for this season?
Because, you know, the group of guys that we have here in this program, you know, we have a group of guys that we're capable of doing something very special here, and I want to be a part of that and lead these guys to that top. But yeah, so just that was a huge reason why I came back. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm a big believer in, you know, finishing what you started. I didn't like the way, you know, I got hurt. My season ended. I wasn't able to be on that field last year helping my team. So having the opportunity to come back this year was big, and being able to be there for my team is huge, and, you know, being healthy and stuff like that. So it was a no-brainer once I was able to, you know, get my year back and come back and have another opportunity to play football. I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else but the Cavaliers.
We talked about it after that first game against Richmond. That first play, you come through the line, you make the tackle in the backfield, and you said after the game you felt a lot of anger in kind of coming out on that play. Just what do you remember about that moment? And kind of it seems like you kind of carried that a little bit, kind of making up for lost time.
You know, I just, you know, being ready when the opportunity presents itself. You know, it was a long journey off the field, not playing football. So, you know, just having that built up anger and aggression, you know, just to be able to release it on an opponent was nice. And then obviously the first play coming my way, the whole opening up like that, you know, I had no choice but to go downhill and make the play. So, but yeah, just really just sitting out all that time and just not being able to play football, just, you know, put a chip on my shoulder. And I had a lot of built up aggression because I was just, for the last 22 months, I was just going against, you know, our receivers and our offense and stuff like that. So I wasn't able to like see a different opponent. So just being able to be out there on that first play against Richmond was huge. And just, you know, it also built my confidence back up a little bit too, just knowing that, like, you know, even though I was out for 22 months, you know, still moving well, still able to play this game at a high level and, you know, feel myself out there. So yeah, it was definitely a great feeling.
Going back to your high school days, you know, speaking of injuries and other things you've had to deal with in life, you had your appendix burst back in high school. Is that right?
Yeah.
What happened? Kind of walk me through that story and kind of what did you learn from that time in your life?
So this was like a weird, it was weird because like I was dealing with like a stomach bug the entire week, and you know, I went to the doctors And they were just like, you probably have a stomach bug, like just, rest, get some rest, drink fluids and make sure you're eating and stuff like that. And then about a week later, like it was like early in the morning, like 3, 4 in the morning, and like I woke up with the worst pain of my life. I went to my mom's room, told her that, like, I can barely walk because it just felt like a knife was stabbing me in my stomach. Went to the emergency room. They did all the scans and stuff like that. And then they said that, like, I needed emergency surgery because, like, my appendix ruptured. And then I was rushed to the hospital downtown, and, they did the surgery and everything. But I ended up being in the hospital for a week after because of the infection of the rupture that I wasn't able to, I wasn't able to eat food. I wasn't able to drink. Like, they had to feed me through a tube for a week. And then they had to, like, they put a tube down my nose, and they were, like, pumping out the infection and all, like, the bad fluids that were in my stomach. So that was for a week after surgery. So it was definitely a tough time. But it made me stronger and to the person I am now, because, obviously tough times don't last. Tough people do. So just being able to be in that situation and having to be in the hospital for a week after surgery, not knowing how, my football journey was going to go after that, because, to be honest, I didn't know what appendix was until they told me it ruptured.
I'm right there with you, yeah.
So, like, I was like, well, what does this do? Like, how does this affect me and my body? And I didn't know that. So, but going into my senior year after that of high school, just trying to get healthy and get back to full strength, because I lost like 30 pounds after that because I wasn't able to eat for a week. And then, like, I wasn't able to lift for a long time after that. So it was definitely a tough time, but it definitely molded me into the person I am today.
So was that during your junior year?
That was actually the summer. That was after spring ball of high school.
Okay.
So after I already committed here to play football here, that was going into the summer of my senior year. Yeah. 'Cause I remember I missed like almost all of summer workouts. And then I was going into the season like maybe 80% because I didn't lift. I barely lifted all summer. I was just trying to get my weight back up because I lost like 20, 30 pounds. So it was definitely a tough time, but it made me maybe to the person I am today.
Not the you weren't the full downhill hard hitting safety when you got back that season.
Oh, no. Nah, yeah, I definitely had to take care of my body a little bit because I was obviously I l lost a lot of weight and a lot of muscle. So I didn't want to go out there and be reckless and, injure myself. But yeah,
Yeah.
it was definitely a scary time because I didn't know what an appendix was, and I didn't know how it could affect me either.
So sticking with your family, obviously kind of them supporting you throughout your life and everything. Your mom, is she has an accent. Where is she from?
She's German.
German. So do
Yeah.
you have German kind of ancestry?
Yeah. So my mom was only the only child.
Okay.
She grew up, my mom graduated high school at 14, started working at 14, two jobs, and was just grinding her whole life, and then moved to the States when I was born. And then, here we are. But yeah, I got a big family, and they support me through anything.
Have you been back to Germany?
I've never been to Germany.
Never been.
Yeah, so my mom, I was born in Jacksonville. So like
Yeah.
when they came to Jacksonville, that's when I was born. So I've never seen Germany. So I've never been over there. She wants me to go. She's always saying like we gotta go to Germany. We gotta go to Germany. But I mean, obviously, I haven't had the time to go to Germany. But I would go one time. I'm not a big fan of that long flight. So
Okay.
I guess I'll definitely suck it up to go with her.
What's the longest flight you've done?
When we played at BYU in 2021,
Yeah.
that was the
That
longest flight I've ever taken.
was my guess, but I didn't know if there was another one in there. Do you speak any, or she taught you any
Oh, no,
phrases? No?
no. So she speaks to us in German, and we speak back in English. So I can understand it. I can't speak it. It's
Yeah.
weird. People are like, "How can you understand it, but you can't say anything in German?" I'm like, it just comes natural. Like she'll say something to me in German, I know what she's talking about, and I just respond in English.
What a, I guess you talk about her story. What is how has she inspired you just in your journey?
Just the hard worker she is, she's never made excuses. She's the strongest woman I know. Like I said, she graduated high school at 14, started working two jobs, and was working two jobs ever since. And, raised six, seven kids working two jobs. So she did it all. She's a true definition of a warrior. She's a true definition of, what bravery and strength looks like. And she's molded me into the person I am today, just of, dealing with adversity and just continue to fight through, not making excuses and just making the most of your opportunities.
We're catching you, I guess, kind of during a little bit of a downtime during the week. Not that there is much during, a college football season, but what do you like to do, I guess, kind of with your downtime?
Unless I'm like, other than like watching film and like taking care of my body, like if I'm away from football, like I just like to chill. I like to chill, maybe turn on the TV a little bit, watch some Netflix, or play the game a little bit. But most of the time I'm a big like laid back person. Like I don't like to, do too much. I like to just chill, relax while I
So
can.
you said play a game. Do you play the EA college football game?
Yeah, I play college, I play the EA Sports game, I play Madden, and I play 2K. Those are only three games I play.
Your favorite?
My new favorite is the NCAA game.
It's great. It's been it, obviously I grew up on the old game and just kind of seeing that come back. It's been awesome. What a is do you have a go-to team? Do you just use Virginia because that's your team?
Yeah, I mean, I use Virginia, but like sometimes like when I'm playing online, like we'll just do random selections, so whoever you get picked, you got to play with. So, but yeah, like obviously, like my dynasty's on Virginia, of course.
How many national championships have you won?
Haven't won any yet. I'm still in my season.
You're
Yeah, I
still
haven't had much time to.
don't
Yeah, I'm still
like
building up to it, but like we play as, all the DBs have like a dynasty mode together, and we play together. But yeah, when I'm playing by myself, I play with Virginia for sure.
who's the best?
Who's the best? I think Jonas is a really good player.
Okay.
Jonas is a good EA Sports player. Kendren's pretty good. Who else? We have like over 20 people in the chat. Like there's a lot of good players. I would say like the players that I played before that are really good are Jonas, Kendren's good, Sadarius not bad.
Okay.
But yeah,
I mean, that's got to be.
Kobe Pace can play a little bit.
Okay. I mean, that's got to be fun just to like, it's been so long since this game and kind of the initial release of it and got you guys getting to play it and see yourselves in the game.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool. And obviously my family and friends back home will play with myself and then show me videos and stuff like that. So it's definitely a cool experience, and just being in a game is awesome. And obviously, having NCAA back as a video game is cool.
Yeah. All right. Turning the attention to this week, Coach talked about it a little bit. He's heard from some former players. I'm sure he's heard from some fans. What have you made of this Maryland UVA rivalry? Obviously, not a lot of it has happened while you've been at the school. You all played for the first time in a while last year, but can you kind of get a sentiment for what it is like with the fan base?
Oh yeah, I mean, all the former players and stuff that played here, and then like even the coaches that's been a part of this rivalry, it's huge, especially for the Virginia Maryland area. It's big for recruiting. I mean, it shows when we step on that field too, just like the intensity out there with both teams. And come Saturday, it's gonna be a big matchup. It's gonna be a heavyweight fight. I'm definitely excited for it. Obviously, I wasn't, a part of it last year. But being on that sideline, I definitely saw the intensity and the energy with the fans, players, and just all week long, just the former Hoos that were a part of the matchup and stuff like that. It was definitely a huge moment, and it's going to be a big moment on Saturday.
As you've gone through film this week and y'all are prepping for Maryland, what has stood out to you? Obviously, their quarterback actually is a Wake Forest transfer that's now been at Maryland for a couple of years. But just kind of what has stood out about the Terrapins?
They obviously they have, pretty solid quarterback. They're running back solid. And then they have a really good group of receivers. I think their receivers are the best group on the team. So, we have a tall task this week as a secondary, but we're up for the challenge and we can't wait. But yeah, definitely their receiving group, that 'cause they want their athletes in space. That's what they try to do. So, obviously Ty Felton's a great player. Number 10, he's leading the country in receiving yards and things like that. And they have Prater, number one, who's obviously a good player as well. And then their tight ends are good as well. So, Yeah, they just like their they want their athletes in space. And we got to do a good job of, minimizing that.
All right, last one is, what are you expecting from Scott Stadium? It's a blue out. What are you expecting from Scott Stadium? An 8 o'clock kickoff. Do you like the 8 o'clock kickoff? And what are you expecting in Scott Stadium?
I'm expecting a show, packed out Scott Stadium. I'm expecting it to be electric. I'm excited. But yeah, 8 p.m. game, I'm fine with it. Yeah, I'm normally the later games I don't really like because I like to, be able to get ready and, wake up and get right to it and play a game. But when you play the later games, you kind of just like you're sitting around waiting all day to play and you're all antsy and eager to play. So it's definitely challenging to like control your emotions when you play like the later games, but I like the later games like for the environment. The environment's going to be electric. I'm excited, and we're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, Chico told me earlier this week, now that he's an older guy, that he likes to be in bed by 10. Obviously, that's not going to happen on Saturday. But Antonio, I want to thank you for joining the Who's On podcast. Thanks for coming on, and good luck this Saturday. We'll see you out there.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. Of course, my guest was Antonio Clary, one of the starting safeties for the UVA football team, who will take on Maryland this week. And now we're going to jump into our normal weekly updates, press conference rewind, and a little bit of a preview of this UVA and Maryland matchup. All right, going back to the depth chart, no, not a lot of big updates this week. Pretty much the same old, same old. One of the notes to say, though, is a lot of injuries last week against Wake Forest. Cam Robinson was injured. He came off in that game with a knee injury. He has been limited at practice this week. A possibility you could see number five out there for the defense come Saturday. Corey Thomas, one of the starting safeties alongside Antonio Clary and Jonas Sanker. He is practicing back to full practice this week after suffering an abdominal abdomen injury during the game against Wake Forest. He is back at practice. And Mikhail Boley, left tackle, still day to day at this point in the season with his high ankle sprain. But coach talked about Jack Whitmer a little bit, who's been filling in at left tackle, talked about his transition from tight end to left tackle. And Whitmer has impressed so early on in this season. So far, Virginia offensive line has only allowed three sacks this season, which has been something impressive to see them be able to do. Two of those against in the Richmond game, the season opener, really more on Anthony Calandria. So it's been a good performance so far from the offensive line as far as in pass protection, run game. We'll see if they can bounce back this week. But time for your press conference rewind for the week. Now, Tony Elliott talking about this Maryland rivalry. A little bit of a lengthier soundbite this week, but I want to kind of get the full picture with Tony Elliott talking about the opportunity to start 3-0 for the first time since 2019, when Antonio Clary was just a true freshman on that Orange Bowl team, but also the chance to kind of reestablish this rivalry with the Maryland Terrapins. Here's Tony Elliott.
A football team that's trying to be the fourth team in 25 years to start 3-0. Right, and we have a chance to do that right home, right at home, in front of our own fans. Right, and we're going to need them because we got a very, very good football team coming in here that's really confident. They beat us last year, so there's no reason for them to think that they can't do the same. Right, they're coming off of a loss. Right, they're going to be hungry. Right, I think Coach Loxley, being from that area, knows the rivalry. Trying to get our guys to understand, because again, it's been a while since the rivalry was full blown. But I was reminded today by a former player coming off the practice field of just how fierce this rivalry is to all of the Virginia faithful. So we have a great opportunity, right, to help this football team, right, with the energy and the passion, because man, that's what it's about. And there's no better way than to be playing in front of your home crowd with a packed stadium, and why not? Like, why not, right? And this is University of Virginia, right? Like, we take pride in everything that we do. So, man, let's pack the stadium.
An interesting soundbite going around on social media this week from Tony Elliott talking about the need to get Scott Stadium packed. We'll see what it looks like. Optimism, though, that they could get over 50,000 fans into Scott Stadium would be a good number. A decent showing in the home opener against Richmond. The hill looked pretty packed. The rest of the stadium, not as much, but obviously weather had a big part to do with that as well. And 8 o'clock kickoff, You know, sometimes it can be tough. It's good because it's at the end of the day, it's a night game. There's a lot of excitement around that, but you know, some people don't want to show out. So we'll see what the crowd looks like. I'm optimistic that we'll get over 50K into Scott Stadium. I think the Hill will look pretty good. And you know, obviously the question always with the Hill is what does it look like in the second half with that game? But going back to what Tony Elliott said, you know, this is the chance for this team to be the fourth team in 25 years of Virginia football to start 3-0. That is an incredible stat because you could start 3-0 and still not be a bowl eligible team. But this team to be able to have a hot start like this, continue to build on the momentum that we've talked about so much on this podcast early on in this season with the schedule that they have, you know, against winnable games. You know, obviously the first game against Richmond, second game against Wake Forest, now against Maryland, next week against at Coastal Carolina. You got a bye week, then Boston College, who's looking like a tougher team with their early success in ACC play with wins over both Florida State and Georgia Tech now. Currently atop the ACC, believe it or not, at 2-0, Virginia right behind them at 1-0. So interesting to see kind of if they can continue to build the momentum. But looking at the rivalry, and Coach said he was reminded by a former player, that player is Tim Conway, just about the importance of this rivalry. And I, as someone that's grown up watching Virginia football, watching Virginia athletics overall, the rivalry with Maryland is different than, say, Virginia Tech or North Carolina. The rivalry with Maryland is just straight up dislike. Like there's, and it's not even like the same dislike with Virginia Tech where you know you really want to beat them. It's, you know, Virginia fans, some of the sentiment is you don't even want to play them because you dislike them that much. And you know, kind of during those 2000s era with, you know, the especially in basketball, remembering that, like the Gravis Vasquez teams, and then even with in football with Ralph Friedgen and those teams, it just was no love lost between these two teams. So it's exciting to kind of see them resume this back on the field after Maryland's move to the Big Ten all those years ago, seeing it coming. We'll talk about some news on the basketball court a little bit later on between these two teams as well. But looking at Maryland's season so far, they have started off 2-0, a huge blowout win against UConn in week one. Last week, they entered the game against in their conference opener, Big Ten opener against Michigan State. They entered as pretty heavy favorites, including some places were predicting the win by as many as 16 points. Well, they were up for a large majority of this game until we got to the fourth quarter. Similarly to Virginia and Wake Forest last week, except Maryland was on the other end of that, losing in the fourth quarter to Michigan State, who had a 77-yard touchdown pass from Aiden Childs to Nick Marsh to tie the game back up at 24, and then Wake Maryland losing on a last-second field goal to Michigan State. Now they are 1-1 on the season. So interesting where we're catching Maryland at this point. And if you look at, it's funny looking at the ESPN projection chart right here, just during that entire game, there was a small blip for Michigan State right around halftime. And then nothing. It was all Maryland red up until the final seconds of that game. So really very, very similar to Virginia and Wake Forest and how they were in that game. So interesting where they're catching the Terrapins this week, kind of on the opposite side of where Virginia is. Virginia is the 2-0 team coming off a late comeback win against Wake Forest. Maryland on the other side of that. So interesting to see where they come in with that. Looking at the players on this team, interestingly enough, the quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., is a former Wake Forest transfer coming into this program, and he has looked really good through two games for Maryland so far. 564 yards passing, four touchdowns and interception, and just one sack. Maryland has only given up two sacks this whole season, one for Billy Edwards, one for the backup, MJ Morris, who you'll remember as formerly at NC State. Had kind of battled with Brennan Armstrong down there last year for the starting quarterback job. At wide receiver, Ty Felton is a big, big time weapon. 330 yards for the Maryland wide receiver, one of the top receivers in the country through those first couple games. And you heard Antonio Clary talk about it in his section. That's probably one of the strengths of this team is their wide receiver position. 18 catches for 330 yards and three touchdowns for Ty Felton. You look at the next guy, Caden Prather, 11 catches, 98 yards. They got a couple playmakers out there. Roman Hemby is the running back, 101 yards so far in the season. They haven't run the ball as effectively so far this year, but neither has Virginia. So maybe this is going to be kind of a like-on-like matchup with Billy Edwards, a quarterback for Maryland, Anthony Calandria, a quarterback for Virginia, who can kind of outgun each other. But both have kind of put up similar numbers as we've kind of gone through this season. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of where we are in this game when these two teams match up. And looking at the numbers now, Calandria is 654 yards passing compared to Billy Edwards 564, so higher in that category. He's got five touchdowns, but he also has two interceptions. And as far as QBR ratings for these two guys, looking at I guess the overall quarterback rating, Billy Edwards is at 171. Anthony Calandria at 177. But the QBR for Billy Edwards is actually an 84.8, and he had a really good opener. He's been over 80s in both games versus Calandria, who's been below the 80s. So kind of ESPN's quarterback metric favors Billy Edwards in this matchup, but all the other counting stats favor Anthony Calandria. So it's going to be a really interesting quarterback duel that we see out there this week. Looking at this rivalry with Maryland, obviously, these two teams faced each other last year in the first game of this series, losing on the road 42-14 at Maryland last season. Anthony Calandria was the starting quarterback that day, but interesting, they lost 42-14 at Maryland last season. I think a lot of Virginia fans remember kind of how this game went. UVA led 14-0 right from the start, a really good start for them, but they ended the game with four straight turnovers, including three interceptions from Anthony Calandria, then a fumble as well to eventually lose this game against the Terrapins. Coming back to this now, Maryland coming to Charlottesville for the first time since 2012. It's been a long time since Maryland had left for the Big Ten. UVA has not defeated Maryland at Scott Stadium since 2008, which coincidentally also the last time these two teams played under the lights at Scott Stadium. They've only done that twice in their history, 1992 and 2008. Virginia's won both times that these two teams have played a night game at Scott Stadium. Maybe that's some good omen for the Virginia Cavaliers this week. Looking further in this matchup, probably the key matchup this week, looking at this team is can Virginia get after the quarterback? Can they get after Billy Edwards? Last week against Wake Forest, Virginia had six sacks. A lot of that coming from the blitz, but that was the most sacks that they have had in a single game since at Georgia Tech in 2022. Not a lot of sacks last year. And in fact, the six sacks are more than half of what they had entire last season, which was 11 sacks, which was tied for last in the country. Talk to some of the players this week. It seems like the blitz, adding extra pressure from the linebacker position, from the defensive back position, is something that's going to be key for this team moving forward this year. So we'll see if that can continue. Maryland's again only let up two sacks, only let up one sack to their starting quarterback in Billy Edwards. And Virginia to continue to get the pressure on the Maryland Terrapins. That's the key matchup that I'm watching for. Can they get after Billy Edwards, get him off his timing, maybe not allow him to just get the ball to those talented wide receivers that the Terrapins have. Looking at our Who's On podcast player to watch, first for Maryland, let's start with Glendon Miller, the defensive back for Maryland, a very versatile player. He has three interceptions already on the season. He's been a little bit of a ball hawk for them. He also leads the team in total tackles with 13 tackles on the year. Something to watch as we get into this matchup because of Anthony Calandria. Last week, the two interceptions that he threw against Wake Forest. The first one you can kind of write off. It's kind of a weird play. Pass gets tipped up at the line of scrimmage, just happens to fall into the big nose tackle's arms for an interception. The second one, that one was more of the quarterback mistake because he had a window there and he underthrew it a little bit, trying to target his wide receiver there. So can he avoid making some of those similar mistakes? Glendon Miller is going to be a big factor in that. Just with his play, and especially with Virginia, as much as they have been trying to pass the ball, can they kind of get something going there? Maybe, against Glendon Miller and that Maryland defense. Player to watch on the Virginia side of this matchup, is probably going to be one of the wide receivers, and I'm going to stay away from Chris Tyree just because I've been calling for him as a player to watch for the last couple of weeks now. And Chris Tyree got a couple more touches against Wake Forest, but still hasn't had any of those big breakout plays. So I'm going to focus more on Malachi Fields and Trell Harris, those two wide receivers, because if you look at this Maryland team, they are currently giving up the most passing yards in the Big Ten through those first 2 weeks, 292 and a half yards. Throw over those combined two games against UConn and Michigan State. Anthony Calandria obviously is always a player to watch every week because he's kind of what runs this Virginia offense. But looking at 401 total yards this Maryland defense is giving up, can Virginia take advantage of that and actually find the end zone? They have been able to move the ball up and down the field against both opponents that they have played so far this season. Can they capitalize when they get into the red zone? I think a lot of that is finding guys like Malachi Fields and Trell Harris. Fields, who was our Who's On Podcast player of the game after the game against Wake Forest, a huge game for him, 11 catches for 148 yards receiving. He has not gotten to the end zone yet. So could this be the week against this Maryland team? Could Malachi Fields find the end zone? I bet either him or Trell Harris will find the end zone this game. All right, predictions time. Maryland opening up this game as a 2.5 point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. On the road at Virginia, a close line yet again this week. Last week, Virginia entered, I think the final line was around one or something against Wake Forest. It hit right on the dot. You know, it was a close game. I expect this to be another close game, but also a high scoring game. I think both these offenses are going to be able to move the ball up and down the field with Billy Edwards at quarterback and Anthony Calandria at quarterback for Virginia. I think they're going to air the ball out a lot in these game. And so I think we're going to see a pretty high score. The overall total right now is 57 and a half. I would probably take the over. I think we're going to get up in a game that's in the 30s again. I will take Virginia. I'll go 30, maybe fine. All right, final answer, 34 to 30 for Virginia over Maryland. I think they get the job done at home. I think it's going to be a good environment at Scott Stadium and probably one of the better ones that we've seen in a while, just a night game. ACC Network, ACC Huddle, they're there. It'll be a big game. Rivalry renewed. I think the fan base is interested at least now. Before we get out of here, have to mention Virginia and Maryland. The rivalry is full and well renewed because these two teams are going to be meeting on the hardwood in basketball over the next 2 years now. They announced on Wednesday, 4-year series between UVA and Maryland on the hardwood. First game is going to be played in Charlottesville in 25-26. And I've actually been kind of interested. Some of the response on X, on Twitter, you know, I've seen pretty positive. A lot of people excited about it. Went onto the message board on the Sabre and actually kind of saw the opposite. And I talked about this earlier, just the dislike, the disdain for Maryland, not wanting to play them at all. They left the ACC. They left Virginia. They left the rest of the conference. I get that, but regional rivalries are what make college sports so great, and we have lost that a lot in college sports over the last couple of years with realignment. And just getting to see these two teams play in non-conference, I think this is kind of what your non-conference should look like, because it's used to be what your conference would look like. It's kind of flipped in a way that, you know, you used to go play, you know, teams all over the country for your conference games. Well, now Virginia's, you know, going and playing, you know, all the way, you know, playing SMU later on the season at home. They're going to have to play California and Stanford later on. You know, you're going all the way to Boston College at times. You know, they're playing these teams now instead of playing your kind of traditional local rivals in ACC play like Maryland. And so it's nice to kind of see this rivalry back on the books. I'm excited for it. I think it's good. It allows people to travel to games. It's not a far distance to go. You just got to get through DC traffic, which is one thing, but excited to see this one back in the books. And when I had John Freeman on, the voice of the Cavaliers, earlier this week, he talked about, you know, Carla Williams and her staff prioritizing games like this and getting it back on the football schedule and now also getting it back on the basketball schedule. So it's good to see kind of where their priorities are for the non-conference slate. Obviously, your conference slate, that's the hand you're dealt. You're going to have to play whoever is on in the conference. But at the end of the day, it's nice to see these types of games in the non-conference. But that's going to do it for us this week. That is your preview podcast ahead of the Maryland game. We will see you at Scott Stadium, 8 o'clock kickoff at Scott Stadium. a blew out. We will see what it looks like. It should be a good atmosphere out there, and we will be back with you on the Who's On podcast, back in your feeds early next week to recap that game. We'll see you then.